This morning, Harvey and I have been talking about a lot of things that are heavy on our hearts. And I want to pray before we start. But this morning, I guess that song kind of led me into it. Do you really know him? Do you really know him? There's a difference if you've never met him. And there's a difference if you've met him, but you don't know him. I've met a lot of you this morning. I don't know you yet. It's possible to be saved and still not really know him. Know who he is, what's on his heart, what's on his mind. Who is he? And you know, Paul said, I would give up everything, 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 just to know him, to know the power of his resurrection. Do you know the power of his resurrection? In order to know the power of resurrection, it takes the fact that you've died and resurrected. Something has died and been brought back to life in a new power that has overcome that thing that has died. Do you know the power of a resurrected life? Do you know the fellowship of his sufferings? Do you know the joy of the Lord? Do you know him? Father, we just come to you this morning, and my prayer is that your holiness would just drop in this room, that the presence of your holiness would fall upon us today. I ask that we would get a glimpse, that we would get a new, fresh taste of your presence. Because, Lord, all of our head knowledge, all of the desires of our heart, all the efforts of our life are nothing if you're not in them. Right. If the real, present power of you is not there, it's just religion. We're not willing to settle for religion. We want the relationship with a real God. And to remember you are not only a God, but the God, holy, mighty, powerful God. And it is our privilege to get to know you. Yes. Ask for your anointing as I speak. I ask for your anointing as they listen. Yes. I ask for every spirit that blocks and binds us to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. That our ears would be open, our eyes would be open. You would bring the revelation of who you are, and you would create such a deep hunger in us to know you better in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to look, first of all, at, I guess before I start talking, I should remind you of the announcements. I always hated that in church, you know. Come out of worship, and you're ready to go into God, and you get announcements. So I'm going to make it very brief. Saturday ministry training, 1:30. I think Harvey's through with the introduction. If you missed his introduction, we will have tapes out by next week, Saturday. We would have had that this morning, but he didn't bring it home. So I think, God willing, I will be teaching this Saturday at 1:30. And I think I know what I'm teaching, but I don't dare to say it, because you know what? He changes his mind, or he changes my mind, I should say, not his. So we'll just leave it a surprise. Turn to Philippians. I miss any other announcements? Prayer meeting here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. No more Sunday night services for now. 8 o'clock, I'm sorry. Wednesday night, 8 o'clock here at the church for prayer. No more Sunday nights. We are doing Saturday instead. Philippians chapter 3. Right now, I want to look down to verse 8, 7. Let's start with 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I do count them but dung, modern day manure, that I might win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10 is the focus verse. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul is not claiming to have already reached. He goes on to say, I press toward, I press toward, I press toward. He's not trying to earn his salvation either. It's the righteousness of Christ in us. But Paul is saying, I want to know him. I want to know him that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Do you know that the focus is to know God? The focus is not to escape hell.
Right.
When we were religious, we were taught how to win someone to the Lord. We walk up 5 minutes. That's what they told us. In 5 minutes, you can lead somebody to Christ. You walk up to the door. You open the verses and you show them. All have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you a sinner? I don't think so. Did you ever lie? Well, yeah. Then you told a lie. You're a liar. You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. Turn them over to Revelation. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. Whoa, now they're scared. They're going to hell and burn in fire, right? How do I get out of it? Do you want to go to hell? Of course not. Would you like to go to heaven? Yes. Jesus paid for all your sin. Righteous, holy Jesus. We show him a few verses, right? He's the only one who's pure and clean. There is no sin in his blood. He shed his blood to pay for your sin. Ask him into your heart. He paid for your sin. Now when you die, you get to go to heaven. And who wouldn't do that? It's amazing a lot of people wouldn't. But who wouldn't do that based on that much knowledge? An idiot would say, no thanks, I'll just go to hell and pay for my own sin. He's so much more than a fire escape.
Right.
It takes so much more than just wanting to escape the punishment of your sin. It takes so much more. Repentance towards God. Then faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God,
right.
Actually, you can't do. Last week we talked about all the things we can't do. People came to Jesus and said, the rich young ruler, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said, give all your money away and come follow me. We could go build a ministry on that. It's a sin to have money. That's not the point.
Right.
He told that young man what that young man could not do,
right.
Because he loved his money more than God. He didn't want to know God. He wanted to make sure he's getting in heaven, but he didn't want to know God. He didn't want to know God more than he wanted his money. To the religious man who had lived, dedicating his life to God, living in the temple, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, what must I do? And Jesus says, be born again. What? Be born again? I thought you'd tell me to do some good works. That I can do. No, be born again. How can I get born again? Can I crawl back in my mother's womb when I'm an old man? Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. He couldn't do that.
Right.
He couldn't do that. You see, repentance is wanting God.
Right.
I don't want my sin. I don't want my religious good works. I don't want anything else. I have seen who God is, and I want him.
Right.
But I can't get him because of my sin. Jesus paid for my sin so that he could reconcile me to God.
Right.
So that I could have a relationship with
right.
God. So that I could belong to God and he could be my father.
Right.
I could be his daughter. We could have a relationship. Sideline benefit. It gets you out of hell. But if you got saved just to get out of hell, do you know God? Do you know God? God is real. He's not a concept. He's not a religion. He's not a bunch of good works. He is a real, personal being. And he's holy. He's holy. Today we have a concept of God that is, God is good. God is good. And they have misinterpreted that to mean God is so good. He's so kind. He's so nice. He knows what I've been through, so he won't punish me. He knows I can't quit smoking and drinking and drugging and sleeping around because my mama hated me and my daddy ran away, so I'm sleeping with all the other women trying to find a mommy, and God understands my inner pain, so he's not going to do anything about it because he's so good and kind and nice. Wrong.
Right.
You see, God is holy. God is holy. He is entirely pure, holy and good. And if he allowed you to bring the excuses of your sin, he would become corrupted.
Exactly.
He would no longer be holy. So as much as he does understand your pain, does understand the reasoning of your sin and your entrapment, as much as he understands it, he can't allow it in his presence.
Right.
He can't, or he wouldn't be holy anymore.
Right.
And he can't corrupt his own holiness, or it would all become evil like the devil and there would be no goodness left.
Right.
So because he is so good and kind, he sends messengers to you to tell you he can heal you of that pain. He can deliver you out of that sin. He will pay for that sin with his own pure blood so that you can repent, come through the blood of Jesus, come into knowing God. He's going to take you out of your sin, not love you in it. He loves you too much to leave you in it.
Right.
But you got to want it.
Right.
You got to want him as he is.
Right.
You can't invite him to be your Band-Aid. He will not come into your life as a Band-Aid. But God, I just want a good marriage, and I just want my finances to work, and I just want you to come. I got a good plan here. Just join me in it. No. Forget your plan.
Right.
Leave your plan.
Right.
Lay down your opinions
right.
and your belief systems and your ways and go his way.
Yes.
Do you want it? I'm not asking you if you can do it, because I can promise you, you can't do it.
Right.
You cannot do it. But if you want it, God himself will birth you into his family by the blood of Jesus.
Right.
And he'll become your father. And his spirit will come and live inside of you. And you'll think different.
Yes.
And you'll feel different.
Yes.
And if you'll get into his word and join up with him, he will lead you out of those things to live with him, his kingdom, his life. You see, this world is not my home. I love that old song. If I had a voice, I'd sing it.
Right.
This world is not my home. No, please don't.
I'm
just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Is your heart set on your house, on your job, on your money, on your car, on your friends, on your family, on your way, on your ideas, on your plans? Let's go over to 1 John for a minute. Let's just check 1 John out and see what God says about that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, this is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Do you love these things of the world and try to get God to bless these things for you? Or do you love God and these things of the world are simply tools to build the kingdom of God? They're simply tools to build the kingdom of God. God isn't your tool to build your kingdom in this world.
Right.
Backwards. While we're in 1 John, let's go back to chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5. And hereby do we know that we know him. I ask you, do you know God? 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. I had someone visit me recently who supposedly met Jesus over 20 years ago. Over 20 years ago. Claims to love Jesus. I have seen her get prayed for and melt to the floor and go, Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love Jesus. He's so good. I've seen her display affection for Jesus and claim to know him. But for 20 years, I have seen her live in drugs, alcohol, and adultery.
Right.
20 years of it. I bet in 20 years. And she comes to my house frequently. Frequently. Tells me she loves me, she loves God, she loves Jesus. She just can't overcome these things. She just can't do it. She can't choose God instead of the boyfriend. She can't choose God instead of the drug. She can't do it for 20 years. And she doesn't even come to church, ever. She doesn't open the Word of God, ever. No wonder she can't do it.
Right.
But the Word says, and hereby do we know that we know Him. She says she knows Him, but here's the proof. If we keep His commandments.
Right.
There's the proof. He that says I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Right.
But whoever keeps His Word, in him truly is the love of God perfected or matured. Hereby do we know that we are in Him. If you cannot keep His commandments for 20 years, friend, He's not living in you. I don't care. I don't care if some sweet spirit melts you to the floor and pats on your little heart and says, I love you so much. If you've got 20 years that you cannot break out of sin, a continued lifestyle of sin, He's not in you. Because you see, if we say we have fellowship with Him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie. We're not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. Now, that's chapter 1. We are not looking for people who say, I never sin. Go on down to verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in it. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. Do you ever think the Word is contradicting itself? Well, when I first started reading 1 John, I was a new Christian and I had not conquered sin in my life. I had met Jesus, but I didn't know how to live in Him. I couldn't conquer sin. So I come to 1 John and it says, if you continue in sin, you're not saved. Oh, if you don't keep His commandments, you don't know Him. And yet I kept sinning. But 1 John said, if we say we don't sin, we're a liar because we do sin. Well, now you tell me if I sin, I'm not in Him. And now you're telling me if I say I don't sin, I'm a liar. So what are you telling me, God? Continuing in sin. You can't continue in sin because the holy presence of God is living in you.
Right.
Your conscience is different.
Right.
You can't keep doing it and feel good about it. It convicts you. It grieves you. I lied to Harvey when we were first married. It wasn't a big lie. I mean, I thought it was for his own good. I mean, I know what the lie was, but I'm not going to tell you. But I'm going to tell you a pretend story. What if he asked me when I married him, am I the most handsome man you ever dated? Am I the best kisser you ever kissed? And I'm thinking, I could say no. And he's going to say, who was? This isn't going to go anywhere good. So I'm going to tell him, yes, it'll make him feel good. Yeah, honey, you're the most handsome man. And you kiss so good. You're just the most handsome guy I ever saw, or ever dated anyway, you know. Well, I told him that kind of a lie to make him feel good. God grieved my heart. I couldn't continue in that lie because God lives inside of me. I try to pray. Brick wall. I was miserable. I was under conviction. I lied. God says you shouldn't lie. I can't live with this lie. Oh my gosh, but to go back and tell him now that I lied, he's going to say, what about? And then I'm going to tell him what about, and he's going to say, what's the truth? Now I'm in a really big mess, you know? I don't want to tell him the truth. But I couldn't get right with God, and I couldn't shake that burden on my heart. And I had to tell him. And I determined that day, I will never knowingly lie again. Because I don't want to go through all this torment of the Holy Spirit making me feel like that. No open heaven with God. And feeling so horrible. And then I got to go back and not only tell the truth I don't want to say, but I got to tell I lied too. You know, double trouble here. I'm never going to lie again. I couldn't continue being a liar. I couldn't do it. Did I lie? Yes. And I did what 1 John said. I confessed my sin to God and to the one I sinned against. and I ask their forgiveness. See, we do sin, we do stumble, but we can't live in it.
Right.
We can't continue in it. We can't choose it. I am so sorry to say so many Christians don't know God. So many quote-unquote Christians don't know God.
Right.
Some of them never even met God.
Right.
Because they're continuing in sin. And they don't care. They think God's going to be so nice he won't do anything about it. And some of them never even met him. There are some that met Jesus. Met and know is two different words. But to know God. Paul said, everything in this world, I count it like manure. That's how valuable it is compared
right.
to knowing God. You see, God wants you to know him.
Right.
And if you know him, you aren't going to have this casual attitude that the world has of trying to bring God down to who we are so they can know him.
Right.
You know, they put out movies and they tell me, it's good, go see it, go see it, it's really good, it's about God. No, it's about making God wear tennis shoes and smoke cigarettes. It's about making God flirt with girls. It's about making God a circus and a show and human. He's not human. He became human only to take our sin on himself and
right.
die.
Right.
But God is holy.
Amen.
He is a God. We don't deserve to walk into his presence.
Right.
We don't deserve to crawl into his presence.
That's right.
And yet we have people who take the verse that say we can boldly enter the presence of God. And they act as though they're his equal.
Right.
We are not his equal.
Right.
But he loves us.
Right.
He wants intimacy. He wants intimacy on his terms.
Right.
Because he's a holy, holy being, intimacy means we lay down our ways, we lay down our sin, we lay down our what we want. We lay it at the feet of Jesus. And bring it into the blood of his cleansing. And we repent of it. And we say, oh God, may I come into your heart and know what you feel. What do you feel? What's on your mind? What's on your heart? Bring me into who you are.
Right.
Bring me into who you created me to
right.
be. Bring me inside of yourself in your holiness and wash me clean and allow me to be your child. And he wants that.
Right.
He will not live where you are.
Right.
He will not make himself come down to our
right.
level. But he will bring us
yes.
into who he is.
Yes.
There's such a simplicity in Jesus, and we complicate it.
Yep.
Such a simplicity
yep.
in him. We want to take those things we find. When the rich young ruler said, what must I do? And he said, give away your money. We go out and tell everybody, you have to give up all your money if you want to know God. No, you don't. It's the love of money.
Right.
It's the love of money that destroys. See, we have a lot of money. Enough. I would say a lot. There's never enough, right? We have quite a bit of money. But you know how many times he took it away? And he can have it again tomorrow if he
yeah.
wants it. Because we have money because he's making us have money.
Right.
We have 3 going on 4 businesses because he's telling us to open those businesses.
Right.
We'd give them all away tomorrow and all the money
I know that's right.
hit the road. We told God we never wanted to own a home.
That's right.
And now we own a big home with an indoor swimming pool. It's a pain in the neck. We want to sell it. He
yeah.
won't let us.
Right.
He won't let us sell it
right.
at this point in time. Money is a burden. Money
right.
is a distraction
yep.
from what life is really about.
Right.
But if he can trust you to let him flow it through your hands to do what he wants to win people into the real purpose, he might do that.
Yep.
If you've laid it down and you don't care, he might do that.
Yep.
But if it's about making money, he's going to expose your heart.
Yeah.
He's going to nail
you.
He's going to nail you. He's going to nail you for who you are. That's why he said to the soldiers, when they said, what must I do to be saved? He said, do no violence to any man. They had to shoot people every day. I don't think their guns were that great. They had swords. I'm going to go around like Braveheart, lopping heads off, slicing people up. And God says to me, do no violence to any man. Is it wrong to be a soldier? Is it wrong to kill the enemy to defend your home and your country?
No.
Why did God tell King David to go into the wicked land and murder everyone in that city?
Yep.
I'm sorry, it wasn't murder. Kill everyone in that city. Men, women, children. I said kill every enemy in that city, because if you don't, they will corrupt my people.
Yep.
And now he says, do no violence to any man.
Right.
Those soldiers walked away with a thought on their heart that wouldn't enter your thinking because you're not a soldier. I bet there were some of those soldiers who had gone to war, who had murdered some people and liked it.
Yep.
They enjoyed the bloodbath. They enjoyed torturing. They enjoyed inflicting pain. And that is the spirit of violence.
Yep.
Grieves the heart of God to have to say kill someone.
Yes, sir.
It grieves the heart of God to kill someone. It would grieve the heart of a weeping God to flip the switch on the electric chair. But he would flip it.
Exactly.
He would flip it to protect the innocent.
Right.
Soldiers kill to protect the innocent, not because they love killing.
Right.
If you love killing, spirit of violence.
Yep.
He exposed them. He nailed them. He showed them who they really are. Showed them who they really are. I like the movie Braveheart, and I don't watch violent movies. In fact, when I watch Braveheart, I keep covering my eyes because I don't want to see the gore. I hate it. But I love the heart of, what was his, the real name of the man?
William Wallace.
William Wallace that Mel Gibson played, because he was a man of peace. He was a man who only wanted peace.
Right.
But no one else would stand up and defend the country.
Right.
He hated blood. He hated war. And he probably spilled more blood than anyone. But he didn't enjoy it.
Right.
He didn't enjoy it. Now, I mean, that's just a movie. It wasn't perfectly done. But that is the heart. When God said to the tax collector, don't collect more tax than you should be doing. Don't take up more money than you. He knew he was ripping people off.
Yep.
He knew the government, the king said, go over there and collect 20 shekels from him. Is that what you call them, shekels? And he went over and he said, king said, give me 40 shekels. Pocketed 20 and gave 20 to the king. He knew the heart of a thief was in that man and he exposed it.
Right.
None of those things are how you get saved.
Right.
Those are things of how you expose what's in your heart.
Yes.
And you see, we're not winning people with a format. This is how you prove them a sinner, and then this is how they escape hell, and this is the prayer that brings Jesus in their heart. Sorry, you're making them twofold more a child of hell than they already were.
Right.
Because now they think they're safe. Now they think, I can keep on doing anything I want. Jesus pays for it. And I get in heaven. I got a free get in heaven ticket. No matter what I do, I'm safe. Sorry. It didn't take. It didn't work. He didn't come in your heart.
Right.
Check your heart out and you'll find out he's not living there.
Right.
You don't know him. You're not convicted of your sin. Your life hasn't changed. You have no power. Paul said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. What is the power of his resurrection? His sinless life. Sin had no grip on him. Death had no grip on him. That's where God's trying to take us, to where sin and death have no more grip on us. You know, we've got a life full of ministers who want to serve Jesus, who want to know end time revelation, the things that are coming for the biggest revival that ever hit this world. What is the power of it? We're going to see arms grown out. We're going to see the dead raised. We're going to see power, and people are going to come running to Jesus, weeping in repentance. Yes, they are. If we ever let God get us ready for that.
Yes, come on.
But how can we have master degree college education in the spirit realm if we never go to kindergarten? I taught in a Christian school. I wish I had the chart to put up here. Well, let's just pretend that this has 3,000 words on it, and you want to read it, but you don't know how to read. And this is only kindergarten. Over there is what you really want. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a pilot. I want to be an astronaut. And here's all the knowledge of a degree that will make you have what you really want. But you know where we start? Learn your alphabet. What do the letters say? A, E, I, O, U are the vowels. When they're short, they say A, E, I, O, U. When they're long, they say their name, A, E, I, O, U. When a word has only one vowel, it says its short sound, like pan, man, cat. But if it has two vowels, the first one says his name, and the second one stays silent. Cake, the E is silent. Now A says A instead of A. If you don't know that, you can't read these thousands of words. And guess what? If you don't know that, you're never going to know that.
There you go.
If you haven't met Jesus, if you don't know God, if you have not been walking a life, walking with the Spirit of God in you, you can't go to college. I'm sorry, but you can't go to the end time revelations that he has for you.
That's right.
Because you don't even know how to read.
That's right.
You don't even know the alphabet.
Not faithful.
You don't know the five vowels. Foundation. If the foundations are weak, God can't build on them.
Right.
He can't build on a weak foundation.
Right.
If the Holy Spirit of God isn't living in you and you're walking with him, you can want to be a minister all day long. What are some of the foundational things? Coming to God in true salvation.
Right.
Repentance towards God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being filled with His Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think, we used to have a preacher that would say, dumber than a box of rocks. Sometimes I think I'm dumber than a box of rocks. Because just when I think I know something, I get tested again. And I go, that is so simple. I read on the internet a prophetic training school. Are you called to be a prophet? Ever since you were born, did you know what was going to happen before it happened? Did you have dreams and visions? Did you have this gifting? And then you met Jesus, and now he's directing that gifting. And this is the place for you to come and learn. Wrong.
Right.
What is revelation? What is a prophet? The spirit of prophet is Jesus Christ. If I get my way in what God has given me, I'm going to teach you that, ministers, this Saturday. How to know a true prophet. How to test them. How to know. Because I'm going to tell you what. I don't care how many miracles they do. I don't care how right their prophecies are. That means nothing to me.
Right.
Nothing. The spirit of prophecy is Jesus Christ.
Right.
All prophecy must be from the testimony. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. How were you born with the testimony of Jesus Christ before you even knew he existed? The Holy Spirit inside of the prophet gives them the revelation. How are you born with that? You don't have the Holy Spirit in you when you're born. I don't care if you knew everything before it happened when you were 10 years old. It was probably a demon.
That's right.
It's probably an evil spirit telling
you.
And they can only tell you what they're going to do. I went to a fortune teller before I was saved, and my girlfriend and I went, and we went 45 minutes from where we lived. We called from a number that they wouldn't know who we were, so they couldn't trace the phone call. I mean, we covered our steps to be sure they couldn't know anything about us. And they hit it right on. Told us who we were married to, told us things we didn't know that were going on, told her something that her husband was going to come home and tell her that he found a piece of property for them to buy and build on, and it was a good piece and they should buy it. Told us things we couldn't possibly know and they couldn't know about us. How they know that? Because evil spirits can communicate with each other. An evil spirit already heard her husband talking to somebody about buying that property,
yeah.
Told another evil spirit that could tell this lady in her mind what had happened. They communicate with each other and tell people things. That doesn't mean it's God.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's God. Doesn't mean anything. The testimony of Jesus Christ is what means something.
That's right.
And you're not born with it.
Revelation 19.
You're not born with it. We are coming into an age where false prophecy, false ministers,
right.
Antichrist are going to be abundant.
Yes.
How are you going to know?
There you go.
Because they look good. They are.
Yep.
wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yep.
They're going to come in among you, and they're going to sound good, look good. They might be the sweetest little old 70-year-old woman just dripping with home-baked apple pie and telling you the sweetest things you ever heard about yourself. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care if she even thinks she's of God. She might not know God. Where's the testimony of Jesus Christ?
There you go.
We've got to learn our ABCs. How's your marriage? You're ready to go out and be a minister? How's your marriage? That's a foundational tool. Because Jesus said that's your very first Bible college. You want to be a minister? Do you rule your house well? Because you're going to treat your church the same way you treat your family.
Uh-oh.
How do you discipline your kids? How do you love your husband? How do you love your wife? If your marriage is a wreck, don't tell me you want me to put you as a pastor in a church.
Right.
Why would I want you to wreck all those people too?
Right.
We've got to get the foundations right, or we have no way to build. But what I have found with God is once the foundations are right, the building goes up quickly. It goes up quickly. And those things we built on bad foundations, you know what the Holy Spirit's been doing? He's been going around like a demolition derby, blowing them up. He's just been blowing those things up so he can build better things. He's been blowing up those things he doesn't want to do anymore. Maybe they were good one time, but they're done. We're doing something new. Tear that old house down. And you know, I love houses. Ever since I was a kid, I'd get out paper and I would design houses. I love to do that. But I don't like to remodel them. I see this old house on TV and they're ripping up rotten boards and they've got leaking pipes and the roof's caving in. I'm like, get the wrecking ball and knock that baby down. Who wants to spend all that time on that pile of garbage that's rotting? Wipe it out and bring in some new lumber. If your ministry is rotten, let him wipe it out.
There you go.
Clean the foundation and build something brand new that's going to last. Our house is pretty, but our house is over 20 years old. We got to get a new roof. We already had to get this, get this, get. We put $30,000 in there just trying to fix everything. For another $30,000, we could have bought a brand new one that didn't need all that fixing. God's wanting to build your life, structure your life. But the first foundational thing that must be there, the cornerstone, is Jesus Christ himself. Do you know him? Do you really know him? And if you do know him, how well do you know him? How well do you know him? Have we lost the holy respect of God? We left religion because it made us sick. It made him sick. That picture says, let my people go. Break the stained glass windows. Let them out of the trap of religiousness. Let them go into freedom. But when he broke them out of Egypt, he said, Moses, go into Pharaoh. My people aren't meant to be slaves for the Pharaoh. Tell him, let my people go that they may worship me.
Right.
That they may worship me. Not that they may do whatever they want.
Right.
Not that they might just play and have fun. Yoo-hoo, love slavery! Let's have fun! No. We want freedom in this church. But you know what we want freedom for? To worship him.
Right.
We want a church that sets God free.
Right.
Not the devil.
Right.
You know what? Total freedom sets flesh free.
Right.
Total freedom releases the enemy, and God backs off and says, oh, that's what you wanted, just a big free-for-all? That's fleshy. I'm not coming.
Right.
That's worse than religion. Now you got to play a room for Satan. Let's set God free.
Amen.
He's never been set free. He has never fully been set free in a unified body of people. What would he do if we could come to that place? How do we get there? Get to know him. Get in the Word and get to know his character, know his personality, know his heart. Spend time with him. Give yourself to him and his ways. Don't try to drag him into what you're doing.
Right.
Get into what he's doing.
Right.
Find out how to fix your marriage. I don't care if you don't think you're in love. So what? What you are calling love is Hollywood romance.
Right.
It doesn't exist in
right.
the real world.
Right.
It's actually infatuation
right.
and it wears off real quick.
Right.
It's like buying a beautiful gold ring when it's only gold plated. Pretty soon your finger turns green and there's no gold left. That's Hollywood love. That's Hollywood love. What happens when your fingers start to turn green. Real love is work. Real love is sacrifice. Parenting isn't about your kids liking you all the time. It's about love is doing the best thing for them.
Right. There you go.
Let's learn how to be husbands and wives. Let's learn how to know God. Let's learn the character. Let's learn the principles. Let's get in the Word. Let's get into prayer. Let's get into unity. Let's learn the power of His resurrection, because we need our life to die and come alive again in God's realm. Anybody want to say anything? Ask anything? Comment anything? Testimony? We'll put on some music. Tom's not here to play quietly, so unless somebody else wants to play quietly, we're going to give you an invitation.
Real quick. This is about building your life for the long run. We've told you this over and over again. This isn't about microwave Christianity. This isn't about saying what make you feel good, please your flesh. This is about you and I growing. If you read about the parable of the sower, he went forth to sow. Jesus gave the interpretation, and he said, some seed fell on stony ground, and it sprung up quickly. But because it had no root, it didn't endure. Where's your root?
I want us to put on quiet music. We had a short service for us today. Normally, you know, I'm talking, it's kind of short. He talks about, you'll be going another hour. So sit down. We had a short service today, but we're going to have a long time for you to talk to God if you need it. There is coffee, there is bagels, there's fellowship areas back there. You can go home. If you're new here, we give God the freedom to talk as long as He wants to, and we give you the freedom to stop listening whenever you want to. So if you've got what God had for you in 10 minutes and want to leave, nobody judges you for that. I have walked out and gone for ice cream in the middle of his sermons, and people are like, where'd your wife and daughter go? And he's like, I don't know, they'll be back. We came back eating ice cream. Oh, you can't do that. And I said, sure I can, so can you. There is freedom here. God's talking to you, sit still and listen. God's done with you, go do what you want. It's religiousness to say, I have to sit here for 2 hours enduring something I don't want to hear because I'll offend the speaker. You will not offend these speakers.
Right.
Ever. Get up and go drink coffee and stay in the back room if you want to. Just don't disrupt those who are listening.
Right.
Okay? So you have freedom. Do not sit out here and pretend spiritual this morning and say, well, if I run to the kitchen and drink coffee, they're going to think I don't want to sit here and think about God for a while. Maybe you don't need to think about God right now. Maybe that's not what He's doing in you. We're going to put on the music, because if you need to sit out here and do business with God, we want to give you the opportunity. If you don't want to deal with it right now, you'd rather go home, or if you don't need to deal with anything, go home, go drink coffee, do what you need to do. I am asking you this morning, children, don't play in this room. Adults, don't visit in this room this morning. If you want to visit, please go back there or outside. If they want to play, let them go back there, so that this room can stay quiet and be a holy meeting with God for those who do need to do that right now. If you do not know God, you have never met Him, you didn't come to Him in repentance, please just come forward and speak to Harvey or whoever's at the front, you know, and come up here and let us know you need some help.